We're going to be in John chapter 3. Josiah, you can get that next slide there. Wake up back there. John chapter number 3. This morning I want to talk to you about how to be born again. And this is going to require your thinking. We're going to go to school for a little while. And we're going to have a graphic that I trust will be okay. I know we have a few younger minds here, but I think they'll be okay understanding the graphic. We're going to go a little bit of a biological course for the first several minutes of the message as we get into it. But I want to share with you this morning how to be born again, and even more so than that, but what actually takes place when someone is born again. We read it just a moment ago. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So this is essential. This is not something that is optional. This is a must. We must be born again. Well, what does that mean? And how does that happen? And this morning, I need to teach you this morning. I know a lot of my messages have been kind of more motivational and inspiring messages. Today is going to be doctrinal. Today is going to be a message. You really got to put your thinking caps on. You got to follow me. Line upon line, precept upon precept. But what I'll give you today, I think, will be helpful to you. And then at the very end, I'll throw in an encouraging theme or thought that will help you for this upcoming week to stay connected with our Lord. But let's go to God in prayer as we preach this morning on how to be born again. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that I have to preach it. Lord, this is a marvelous book. This is a perfect book. And yet you've allowed a sinful man like myself to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Lord, I can't do it in the flesh. I've got to have your Holy Spirit's power and anointing upon my life and upon this sermon. And I pray that you would now fill me and empower me to preach your word. I pray that you would empty me of self. Give me a mind of clarity. I pray that I would be able to speak clearly and in a way that everybody can understand the great truth of being born again. Help us, Lord, now as we get into the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice in verse number 3, keep your Bibles open here. We are going to look at another portion of Scripture in a little bit, but we're going to be here in John chapter 3 for the first half of the message here. John chapter 3, verse number 3, Jesus answered and he said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus here in this verse said that a man must be born a second time to see heaven. A man or a woman must be born a second time. Well, naturally, you would think, well, that's not possible. How could someone be born twice? And that's what Nicodemus was thinking. He was thinking naturally. And in verse number 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And so, how is that possible? How is a 6-foot tall man who weighs 200 pounds, how can he be born again? How can he go back into his mother's womb and come out a second time? That's impossible. And so Nicodemus was confused by the statement that Jesus made that a man needs to be born a second time. He needs to have a second birth. And Nicodemus says, this is not possible. This is not feasible. And so a little bit about Nicodemus before we go any further. Jesus revealed to this devout Pharisee, Nicodemus, that the kingdom would come to the whole world and not just the Jews, and that Nicodemus would not be a part of it unless he was physically born again. Nicodemus was a member of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the upper echelon of the religion of Judaism, and they were thought of as the experts. They were the strictest group of the Jews, and so they were well-versed in the Scriptures, and they tried to hold to the Scriptures dot every I, cross every T, and sometimes even add stuff to the. They were very particular. And so here's this religious man that Jesus is having a conversation with, and he says, Jesus, how can someone have a second birth? How can someone go back into their mother's womb and come out a second time? Now notice what Jesus says in verse number 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus responds by saying that someone has to be born of water and of the Spirit. And this is not very helpful at the point to Nicodemus. Well, born of the water and born of the Spirit. We know that Jesus is making a clear indication of two births in this verse. We'll see that as we look at the next verse, but just look at that fifth verse again. Except a man be born of water. The Bible is a very scientific book. The Bible is a very medically knowledgeable book. And those of you that have been pregnant, those of you that have had the blessing of having a child, you know that the main event that takes place before your bringing a child into the world is what is known as your water breaking. When that water sac around that baby breaks, that allows way for that baby to be delivered. My wife, her water broke on the way to the car with our first child, Gabby, and we lived probably about 10 or 15 minutes away from the hospital, and she was further along in labor than she actually thought she was, and so she called the doctor. The doctor said, you need to get to the emergency room, and so on our way there, we had a little flood in the first seat, Brother Larry. the water broke, and so he's referring to a natural birth. Now, some other people would try to make it something else, but I believe Jesus makes this very clear in the next verse that he's referring to a natural birth. Jesus said, in addition to a natural birth, in addition to being born out of a womb of water or a sack of water, a man must also have a spiritual birth. A man must have a first birth, a natural birth, but he also must have a second birth, and that birth is a spiritual birth. He explains his statement in verse 5 with verse 6. Notice what it says in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So he starts off by saying someone has to be born of water and of the Spirit. And then verse 6 he says, and the person is born of the water and the Spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And then he goes on to say, and that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. So notice he's talking about these two different births. He says, except a man have a second birth, he will not enter the kingdom of God. He's got to have a natural birth, which Nicodemus knew about and said that, you know, we've all had a natural birth, but how can we go back into that womb again and have a second birth? And Jesus says, no. Nicodemus, I'm not talking about another natural physical birth. He says, that which is flesh, but that which is spirit. We all have one physical birth. And our mom, which is flesh, brought us forth into this world and brought forth another flesh and body, a little baby girl, a baby boy, whatever you are. And so that which is flesh produces flesh, but that which is spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that's emphasized here, produces spirit. So Jesus says a man must have not just a natural birth in order to go to heaven, but he must have a spiritual birth in order to go to heaven. A physical body births another physical body, and likewise a spirit births another spirit. And then in verse 7, he concludes by saying, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. It is imperative. It is absolutely necessary for you to be born a second time. All of us have been born once. We wouldn't be sitting here if we didn't have that first birth. But there may be someone in this room that has never experienced the second birth. You've never been born a second time. Yes, you've been born of flesh, but you haven't been born of the Spirit. And if we're going to go to heaven, we've got to be born of the Spirit. We have to have a spiritual birth. This, and we are born of the Spirit and have a spiritual birth the same way Jesus was born of the flesh. And I'm going to show you this in just a few minutes. But first of all, I want to show you a little bit of an illustration of the birth, how a birth comes about. And it's not too graphic, but Josiah, would you please put that first slide up? We have, in order for a physical birth to take place, there has to be a male and a female. There has to be a giver and a receiver. And the man gives a seed. The woman receives the seed, and conception takes place, okay? That's very basic. I think you understand that. A man gives the seed. The woman receives the seed, and conception takes place. And when that takes place, when a male or giver gives the seed and the female receives the seed and conception takes place, the next slide brings forth a new life. A little baby boy or a little baby girl. A little baby boy or a little girl comes into existence because there was a seed that was given from the male to the female. It was a seed that was given from the giver to the receiver, and that conception takes place, and it brings forth a new life. Now, that's very basic in the physical realm. Now, let's look at the spiritual realm. So that is how a flesh is born of flesh. Now, let's look at the spiritual realm. Josiah, would you put up the next slide? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, represented there on the left, with the Bible in its center, that represents the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gives forth the seed, and that seed goes to the heart of the soul of man. If man or woman accepts that seed, receives that seed is received just as a woman conceives seed from a male. When a man or woman, a person, receives the seed from the Spirit of God, again, birth takes place. So the Word of God is the seed. The Word of God gives us the seed. And I don't have the verse up there, but I want you to listen carefully to it. In Galatians chapter number 4, Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 16, we are told what the seed is. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and gives us the seed of God, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the seed of God. And when we are the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God is given to us, and we accept what it says, we receive the seed. We receive Christ. And when we receive Christ into our heart, it brings forth, next slide, Josiah, a new life. And this new life here is the offspring of God. This new life was birthed not by a human being, but by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God births another spirit. That's what Jesus said in verse number 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is spirit. So the Holy Spirit of God produces another life, another creation, and that creation is born as a spirit. It's a spirit within us that is born, revived, regenerated, different terms, but our spirit is brought to life within the soul of man when we receive the seed, Christ, from the Word of God that is presented to us with the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit giving us. So you understand that. It's very similar to birth, but it's in a spirit realm. Just as the male gives seed to the woman and there's a new creation, a new life that comes forth from that, God in His Spirit, the Spirit of God, gives the seed, which is Christ, and when it's received into the heart of an individual, a man or a woman, that brings forth new life. And this new life is the offspring of God. This new life is a child of the Spirit of God. Just as I am a child of Sharon Erickson, physically, I am a child spiritually of God Almighty. I'm a child of Jehovah God. I'm a child of the Holy Spirit. My spirit's been born of Him. Just like I have natural characteristics that I inherited from my mom and dad, physically, spiritually, I have genes, a nature, and characteristics that come from the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not going to go deep into that because I think it takes a lot of bit of explaining to, but just know that you're a spirit being whose creator and maker is the Spirit of God as a saved, born-again person. Now, let's turn to Luke chapter 1, and I want to show this to you in both realms. I said, you can just go to the next slide. We'll have an altar call. I should have put another slide in there. Sorry about that, Josiah, but you can just leave it there. That's fine. Luke chapter 1. Now, stay with me. I hope you still have your thinking caps on. I hope I haven't lost you. I know, especially for Haley and Olivia and Josiah and Jayla, they're tired of school, and yet they have to come to church today and be taught again. But this is more important than what you do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. This is spiritual, and I hope you'll pay attention and you'll get it. But all of you, this is so important that we have this nailed down. I want to share with you this thought, because just as Jesus was born of God, was born of the Spirit of God in the flesh, so are we in the Spirit. Let's look at how Jesus was conceived and how He became a human flesh that dwelt here on earth. Luke chapter 1, verse number 30. Luke chapter 1, verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." So let me stop there. So the angel says to Mary, "You found favor or grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in your womb a child and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And then he goes on to say, "And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now look what Mary says. Just like Nicodemus had a question, how is this possible? How can a man have a second birth? How can he be born a second time when he's old? How can he go back into his mother's womb and be born a second time? Well, Mary was told by the angel that she was going to have a supernatural birth. She was going to bring forth a creation. She was going to bring forth a new life, a child, and yet she had never had a physical relationship that was required to bring forth a new life, as we showed you in the very first slide there. There was no giver or receiver taking place physically for this to happen. And so in verse 34, she says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She says, "I've never had a relationship with a man. How can this be?" Verse 35, "The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, notice here in verse number 35, the angel said unto her that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And previously he said to her in verse number 31, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb." Thou shalt conceive in thy womb. And so when he says in verse 35, "Therefore also that holy thing," he's talking about that holy thing that which she's going to conceive. He's referring to the seed. A woman conceives because of a seed that is received. And when that conception takes place, 9 months later, a new life comes forward. And so he says in verse number 35, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and therefore that holy thing, that holy seed, that supernatural seed, that incorruptible seed that is going to be placed in your womb, which shall be born of thee and shall be called the Son of God. So a woman conceives seed, and that seed brings forth a son. And here's a supernatural thing that took place. Mary supernaturally received from the Holy Spirit of God the seed of God, which we already showed you, the seed is Christ. The seed is Christ, and Christ was placed in her womb, and then she would bring forth him in human form 9 months later. That holy thing that was born, that holy seed that was born of her was Christ. And when a person who is born spiritually, the same thing takes place. It's just a spiritual version of the Holy Spirit of God overshadows you, places within your heart, within your soul, the seed, which is Christ. And if you let that seed in, if you accept that seed into your heart, conception takes place. And from that, a new creation is formed. A new birth takes place in a spiritual realm. I want you to turn with me now to the book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Before I read the verse to you, just let me explain this. When you were born, whatever date that was, you were brought forth because your mother and father exchanged seed. Your father gave the seed, your mother received the seed, conception took place, and she brought you forth. But the seed that you were brought from, or brought forth from, was a corrupt seed. That seed was corrupt. That seed was inherently sinful. That seed was a seed that would eventually die. It was not an immortal seed. But when the second birth takes place, or when the spiritual birth takes place, you're not born of an incorruptible seed. You're not born of a sinful seed. You're not born of a seed that is tainted with sin. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Josiah, could you go back just one slide for me? So we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. A spiritual birth takes place when the Spirit of God, through the word of God, by the word of God, gives you an incorruptible seed, which we already talked about is Jesus Christ. And when that incorruptible seed, Christ, is received into the heart of an individual, within them is birthed a new nature. And this new nature, like I said before, takes on the same characteristics or genes of its father. So if you're a saved person today, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and you've put your faith in him, you've been born again. You've been born by the Spirit of God, and your spirit and soul that lives inside your physical body has the nature of the Holy Spirit. What nature is that, according to this verse? What incorruptible? It's an incorruptible nature. That means it's a nature that is not a sinful nature. That means it's a nature that can't die. That means it's a nature that can't be defiled. You have been born of the Spirit of God, and now you have a new nature within you. You have a divine nature that's incorruptible and will never die. And so that's why Jesus said, hey, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to see the kingdom of God, then you must be born a second time. You've got to have a second birth, because only the second birth will allow you to live forever and ever and ever and ever for all eternity. You've got to have that second birth. So being born again, not of the corruptible seed that I received from my earthly father, Donald F. Erickson, not that corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed I received from the Holy Spirit of God, produced by the Word of God. The Word of God gives the seed. The seed is Christ. And when we receive it, we are born again and we'll live for all eternity with our Heavenly Father. Now, I want you to go back to where we began in John chapter number 3. Not to be repetitive, but repetition is the greatest teacher. You were born because one day your father gave seed to your mother, and her body accepted that seed, she received that seed, and you were brought forth. In the physical realm, you were born of flesh. In the spiritual realm, in order for you to go to heaven, you have to be born of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, wants to give you a seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. And he wants to put that seed into your heart. And he wants you to accept Jesus into your heart and fully believe and trust in him by faith and receive him as your personal savior. And man has the choice to accept that seed or reject that seed. The choice is yours. Is Jesus Christ in your heart? Have you accepted the seed of the Holy Spirit? Have you accepted Christ into your heart? Well, if you have, you've been born in the spirit realm. You've been born of the Spirit of God. And you're a spirit being that is alive, that is made of an incorruptible nature that will live on and on forever and ever in the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus. Jesus was not talking to an atheist. Jesus was not talking to a sinful, wicked, evil man. Jesus was talking to a religious man. He was talking to someone that would attend church. He was talking to someone who would accept the Bible as being from God. But yet this religious man did not have what Jesus was referring to. He did not have a second birth. Jesus is saying it doesn't matter how religious you are. It doesn't matter what church you're a member of. It doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized, how many times you've taken communion, how many times you've given money to the church, how many times you've done good deeds. None of those things bring forth a second birth. It's only a supernatural occurrence that takes place when the Spirit of God shows the Word of God to you and you see that Jesus is the way. And when you accept Jesus, the seed, into your heart, a birth takes place and you'll live forever and ever in eternity with your spiritual heavenly Father. And that's what Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus. Here in John chapter 3, Jesus explained that this is a supernatural work. And in verse 8, to describe this to Nicodemus, he says this, when the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Jesus explained that we cannot control the work of the Holy Spirit, that he works unknown to man. It's like the wind. You can't see it, but you just see the effects of it. He says, it blows wherever it wants. And the Holy Spirit is doing a work. He's working in different people's hearts. And although you can't physically see it, spiritually you know it. Spiritually you sense that. You feel it. And you can see when the Spirit of God is working within an individual, you can see evidences of that. And he says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit, he works in ways we cannot predict or even understand. There may be people that you disregard as thinking they'll never come to God. They'll never accept Jesus. They'll never receive the gospel. But don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit of God to change a life. I've read some testimonies of some of the most worst criminals. I mean, people who are on death row, who did despicable things. Heard tremendous stories of how one day they realized how wicked and evil they were, and how wrong they were, and why they did what they did, and how to make up for what they did. You never bring a life back. You can never make up for an act that you commit. But there's one way to have redemption from it. There's one way to have forgiveness for it. And some of the most hardened criminals have great testimonies of how one day they realized, because the Spirit of God did a work in their heart and mind and convicted them of their need for repentance, for forgiveness. And so maybe it's a world leader that you think, well, that person would never trust Christ. Don't underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe it's someone that you love. Maybe it's a wife, a child. Maybe it's a grandma or grandpa. Maybe it's an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it's a wayward child that you know is not saved. Don't you ever give up hope. Don't you give up hope. Our God is almighty. And he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And the Holy Spirit can work in ways we can't understand. You keep on praying for that person. You keep on lifting that person up to the Lord in prayer and asking the Lord to open their eyes to see the truth. Don't assume that anyone is beyond the reach of the gospel. God, through his Holy Spirit, can reach anyone, and we should pray diligently for whomever he brings to our minds. You see here, this Jewish teacher of the Bible, Nicodemus, he knew the Old Testament thoroughly, but he didn't understand what it meant to be born a second time. He had knowledge, but he didn't have an experience of a second birth. He knew a lot up here, but nothing had ever taken place right here. And the seed is not received up here. The seed is received right here. No one ever gets saved because they agree to the fact that Jesus lived and died on the cross and paid for the sins of the world. Mental knowledge and just an agreement to the fact that Jesus was a real living person who died on a real gruesome cross is not enough. There has to be a personal acceptance in the heart of each individual for this second birth to take place. And Jesus was going to be successful. We know later on that Nicodemus would be a secret follower of Christ. He would get saved. He would get born again. But because of his fear of persecution or just because he was afraid to tell the others in the Pharisees' elite society, he tried to keep it secret. The Bible talks about that at the resurrection of Christ. But he would have come to know Christ. And it wasn't because of a head knowledge, but because he received the seed, Jesus Christ, into his heart. This morning, there's a reason that God wants each and every person to have a second birth. It's found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. This morning, if you're not saved, God loves you and does not want you to spend an eternity separated from Him. He wants you to have a second birth so that you can spend all eternity with Him. The only way to get that second birth is by accepting Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior. In just a moment, we'll give you an opportunity to do that. Now, if you have done that, let me encourage you. This Almighty God has made this provision for you to be saved, to have the second birth, is looking out over you as His child. You've been born of Him. And as a father, He loves you and He wants what's best for you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to meet your needs. Hey, if I had a rich dad who had a lot of money, I'd be going to him a lot. Dad, I need to borrow some money. I want to take my wife out to dinner. Dad, I need to borrow some money. I want to upgrade to get a new Samsung Galaxy phone. Sorry for all of you who love iPhones. I hate those things. I'd much prefer a Samsung Galaxy. No, if I wanted something, okay. How about this one? Look, if I had a rich dad, hey Dad, you know, can you give me $25,000? I want a new car. You know, can you get a new car for $25,000 these days? But listen, I do have a rich dad. He's up in heaven. So let me ask you, how often do you go to him and say, hey, Dad, I need help with this. Hey, Dad, I have a bill that's due. Can you help me? Hey, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The wealth of every mile is his. I mean, he's got riches and gold and riches and glory that we can't even imagine. You think it's too hard for God to meet a physical, financial, material need that you may have? No. As a Heavenly Father, He's promised, out of love, He would take care of His own, and He would meet our needs. I'm so grateful for that. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for the fact that You were willing to come to shed Your blood on the cross of Calvary so that we could experience this second birth. Father, I pray You've continued to do a work. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, I hope you understood the message. I hope you understood the teaching. And if you're here this morning and you have any doubt whatsoever about whether or not you've had that second birth, then right now I want you to take care of it because we're not promised another day. It's very simple. I've given you the Word of God, and the Spirit of God today wants to give you the seed of Jesus Christ. You've got to accept that personally. You've got to accept Him into your heart by faith. And if you are genuinely, sincerely inviting the Lord into your heart this morning, then the Bible says a second birth will take place. You'll be born of Him. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask you two questions this morning. How many of you would say, Pastor, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I've had that second birth. At some point in my life, I know that I've experienced that second birth, that spiritual birth. Would you please raise your hand so I can see it nice and high? I see those hands. Very good. Very good. Let me ask one more question. Is there anyone here this morning? No one else is looking around. It's just between me and you and God. Is there anyone here this morning that would say, Pastor, I don't know if I've had that second birth. And I would like you to pray for me about that. Would you raise your hand up? Is there anyone here like that? I don't know if I've had that second birth. Thank you for your honesty. Father, we thank You so much for the Word of God, and we thank You for doing all the work so that we could be saved by experiencing this second birth. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to rejoice in it. Help us to realize that we have a Heavenly Father that has promised to take care of our needs and to do what is best for us. Lord, help us to trust him today. Help us to rely upon him and to ask him for help as we live down here on this earth. We ask you to bless now the invitation, the song of invitation. We pray continue to speak to hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.